KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. It is Election Day, but a huge percentage of Americans do not vote. And I'm asking today if you are one of them, tell me about it. Tell me why. 206-543-5869, 800-289-5869. Write to us, conversation at KUOW.org. Or maybe you're a partial voter. You're not filling out big chunks of your ballot because you don't know what to make of those issues. Is it conscionable to vote but not vote on everything if you don't feel informed about it? Lynn writes to us, I decided not to continue voting in 2004 when George Bush was reelected. The system is broken, and I choose not to support a broken system by participating in it. However, my husband is not a U.S. citizen, and although he pays taxes, he does not have the right to vote, even though he would very much like to. So I let him fill out my ballot, and I sign it. It works out great for both of us. So Lynn doesn't vote, but she gives her husband her ballot instead. We're going to get to Peter in a moment, who's never voted. He's going to explain to us why. Maybe you have never voted either. Tell us about that. But first of all, it's a Tuesday. Why do Americans vote on Tuesdays? NPR's Selena Simmons-Duffin has the story.
The answer, turns out, is a little obscure. Senate historian Don Ritchie had to dig through some historical documents so he could explain.
In the early 19th century, basically, it was a crazy quilt of elections.
He says the Constitutional Convention didn't get to some key details, leaving states to set their own voting dates, which meant several decades of electoral chaos.
So finally, in 1845, Congress passed a law
which set the Tuesday after the first Monday in November as Election Day. If it were Monday, they reasoned, people would have to travel in their buggies on Sunday, traditionally a day of rest. And in a mostly farming society, Wednesday was out because that was often market day. Tuesday was the day, and that seemed to work great.
In the 1840s, elections were a big to-do. There was a lot of hoopla. There were parades. Whole families would come on wagons from the farms. People would get dressed up for the occasion.
Well, that may have made sense in 1845, but the world has moved on. Democracies have moved on. And so Congress should also move on and make it easier for people to vote.
Now that there are no buggies or market days, Democratic Congressman Steve Israel of New York says Tuesday no longer works. It isn't exactly a convenient day for a lot of folks. When the census has surveyed people about why they don't vote, one in four says they're too busy or their schedules don't allow them to get to the polls. Now, many states have other options, like early voting. But not all, says Jacob Soboroff with the advocacy group Why Tuesday.
In 15 states, you do not have an opportunity to vote early or with an absentee ballot or by mail, which means you have to vote on Tuesday.
Soboroff and Congressman Israel say this bars access to democracy. They say it keeps America's voter turnout chronically low. But moving Election Day from Tuesday turns out to be no easy task.
We're a very traditional country, and that became a tradition in a lot of ways.
Historian Don Ritchie says people can set their calendars to it. They can count on it. They're used to it. And though Congressman Israel has been introducing and reintroducing a bill to move voting to the weekend, it keeps dying in committee.
I'm not giving up. I think it's just that important.
It's not exactly a very sexy issue. It's a little bit technical.
You know, some people would say it's a rather arcane issue, but I think it's a rather profound issue. I can't think of anything more important than making sure that people have an opportunity to cast their votes.
For this election, the date is set. So, as in every presidential election since the 1840s, Tuesday is the day to vote. Selena Simmons-Duffin, NPR News.
Or not vote. A big percentage of Americans are not voting today, and we're trying to get to the bottom of why it is they are not voting. 206-543-5869, 800-289-5869. You can write to us, conversation at KUOW.org. And earlier, you might remember we heard from a woman who said she intended to vote. She thought she'd registered to vote, but had not gotten her ballot. There's a phone number for you to call if you're someone who intends to vote but has not gotten a ballot yet. I'm going to give it to you. It's 206-296-VOTE. If you think you've registered but you haven't gotten your ballot, 206-296-VOTE. I want to talk to Peter next. Peter's listening to us today on Lower Queen Anne Hill. And Peter, I understand that you have never voted. Is that right?
That's true.
And how many elections have you skipped? How long have you been eligible to vote and decided not to?
12 years I've been eligible to vote.
And why have you decided not to vote?
Well, at first, it was just a disenfranchisement with our system in general. It assumes the worst in people. It wants us all to vote, but ultimately it doesn't trust the large mass of us in our decision-making. That way the Electoral College ultimately decides who's going to be president.
So the Electoral College, of course, has ruled us in Washington State kind of out of the equation when it comes to presidential politics. You haven't seen Obama and Mitt Romney barnstorming here like they have in Ohio. So we're sort of not part of the equation. So that makes you feel disenfranchised. But, of course, there's a lot of statewide measures where your vote does count more substantively than the Electoral College. But so why don't you vote just to do that?
It's true. And in the local setting, I'm for a long time, ultimately being disenfranchised just kept me out of the loop. It moved into an apathy. And when I started to realize that there is an importance in voting, I realized how uninformed I am and how difficult it is to be informed. And actually, it's really coming to a head now that my apathy is a big problem. Mm-hmm. And I want to be more involved, but I just need to be more informed. And I think my participation in our government is simply being more informed.
So you've never voted in 12 years, but it sounds as though you're rethinking that, and maybe next time you will?
Well, certainly on the referendums before, that one
yeah.
in particular.
You know, Shirley wrote to us, Peter, and said, I'd like to remind those who choose not to vote that they have no right to complain about anything the government does. Do you think Shirley's right that if you don't vote, you don't have a right to complain about what the government does?
No, because then analogously, not voting is a vote.
Peter, thanks a lot for your phone
call. You bet.
Not voting is a vote. Do you agree with that? 206-543-5869. As we heard earlier from our political scientist, there are some states and some localities where you can vote for none of the above to register your displeasure at the choices. We're talking today about choosing not to vote. 206-543-5869. Robert's with us today in Bellevue. No, excuse me. Hang on there. We're going to see if we can't get to we've got Steve, who's in the Hilltop neighborhood in Tacoma. Steve?
How you doing?
Good. How are you? So you're not voting?
No, I'm not voting.
And tell me why.
It's the biggest reason is the Electoral College system, which makes our vote null and void. Second thing is it's a money game. And if you consider all the money that has been spent just coming up to the election, let alone the last couple of weeks, things we could have done nationwide with those things. And then last but not least, it's just a kabuki dance. At the end, if those people who were supposed to be Tea Party members masquerading as Republicans, if in the end we still have this obstructionist situation,
mm-hmm.
What's the point?
You know, we heard from our last caller who doesn't vote, Steve, that he felt not voting was taking a stand and had an influence. Do you think not voting means anything?
No, I don't think that my not voting is a vote, if mm-hmm. that's what you mean.
Yeah.
I just don't want to waste my time. I don't want to go register and then be on a list of people who they're going to send you a message next year about how you voted and how you voted in the past. And
right.
I think that's intrusive.
Thanks a lot for your calling, Steve. I really appreciate it. So, Steve, we heard from an earlier person who wrote to us to say that their brother didn't want to vote because they didn't want to get called for jury duty. They found it a little intrusive to be kind of part of the system that way. Let's go to Robert, who's listening to us today in Bellevue. Robert, you're not voting.
No, I've actually voted. And I
you have
I
voted.
Believe in the opportunity to vote, and I vote for my local initiatives, and I vote for my Congress and my senator and such. But, you know, I like a lot of your callers, I have a huge problem with the Electoral College process. I think it pretty much takes the one vote, one person out of the process. And you know, as with Gore and earlier, you know, he got the popular vote, but unfortunately didn't become president.
So the fact that we don't really have a democratic election and that each vote counts, and the fact that in our not that distant history, we've had presidents elected who didn't win the popular vote, that kind of turns you off to voting for the president.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I firmly believe that more people would vote if they felt that their vote counted. And I think the Electoral College process, unfortunately, being that most people have no idea of what the process is. And I'm surprised. I mean, I don't know what it is. And I consider myself to be somewhat an informed voter. But, you know, I haven't done my best. I've been lazy about it. I think, like most of your callers, we're just being too lazy to find out the issues.
Mm-hmm.
You can really dig, but I think if you dig on the Electoral College process, you'll find you're not part of the system. You're not part of the process.
Well, I got to wonder, Robert, when I don't pay attention to something or not motivated to check something out, usually that means I don't think it's important to me. I mean, is that part of the reason that you're not motivated to kind of find out more about it, is that you don't think it really affects your life day to day?
You know, the presidential election, I think it definitely affects my life. And I talk to people about it. You know, when I have the opportunity, I have written to my representatives to find out, you know, how do we, because I know there's been a number of attempts to overturn and make a constitutional amendment to the Electoral College process, and it's always failed.
Yeah.
It's been 200-plus attempts.
Robert, thanks a lot for your phone call. So Robert votes, but not for the presidency, because he doesn't believe in the way that we elect the president, which is, of course, by state. That's why there's all this attention on 10 or 11 states that are considered to be toss-ups. Washington State considered to be pretty solidly in the Barack Obama camp. And, you know, I can understand why you'd feel in Washington State as though the presidential election is passing you by. Has that led you to not vote? Let's go to Emma, who's listening to us today up on Capitol Hill. Emma, tell us why you're not voting.
Well, I'm not voting because I don't want to take, you know, any part in this system and all of the horrors that it's causing here and all over the world. If you look at police brutality, 2.4 million people in prison in the U.S., and none of the candidates offering any kind of a solution to this. The wars of empire, these drones, these are all of the things that are going to be continued, no matter who's in office. So I have actually consciously decided, as somebody who is political, that I'm not going to take part, and instead we need to put our energies into actually getting rid of these horrors.
Now, what about some of the candidates that are not in the Democratic or Republican Party? And I'm thinking of the Green Party candidate, the Libertarian Party candidate, that are espousing different values on some of the issues that you say are important to you. Why wouldn't you want to vote for them, even though they don't have much of a chance of getting elected?
Because I think that, that's the point, is that everybody knows is that they don't have a chance of, you know, getting elected. I mean, I'm coming from the personal opinion that I think we need an actual revolution, that we need a whole different system that doesn't actually operate, you know, the way that it does, where the only kinds of people who can get into office and who can run things are people who are going to actually maintain the interests of, you know, and when I say the system, I mean the interests of capitalism and imperialism. And that's, you know, that's what's driving things. I'm not looking to just have a protest vote. We need to get rid of it.
And when you look around at the candidates, at all the candidates for local or state or national government, there's not one of them who you think stands up for what you believe in.
I think that, you know, one of the things about these, you know, about putting your energies into candidates that are never going to get in is that it keeps people's energies from where they really need to be, which is out mobilizing a movement, you know, massively in the streets, because we all know that, you know, even if there are candidates that, you know, the general public, you know, likes or, you know, would somewhat represent their interests, say, more than the two parties, everybody knows that they don't have a chance at getting in. And why is that?
Emma.
So that's where I'm coming from.
Hey, thanks for calling, Emma.
Stick to their principles.
Thanks for this. I really appreciate you giving me a call and giving me that perspective. Emma's not voting because she'd rather put that energy into other ways of changing society. And she doesn't see voting as a very effective way to do that. Joe's listening to us today in Renton. Joe, you're not voting?
No, not voting. I'm 32, so I've been able to vote for a while. But a while back on the program, they mentioned if you don't vote, you have nothing to complain about. And I think it's actually the opposite. I think George Carlin said it best, if you do vote and the person gets elected and does a bad job, you're responsible for putting them in office. And if you don't vote, you know, I think Emma's got a somewhat of a point there, putting your energies elsewhere, because after all, you've got Coke and Pepsi, Chevy and Ford, you know, the two major brands out there, and really we know there's better candidates. I mean, you know, Ralph Nader and people of that.
Yeah, well, Ralph didn't run this time, but there is a Green Party candidate.
Correct. Yeah. I'm just saying from past. But also, you know, it is a bit of a statement. As long as you're doing something else, you know, you're not just not going to vote, and then, you know, people talk about revolution, but I don't think they know exactly what that really means. If you have families and things like that, it's hard to run out there and start a revolution.
Yeah. Well, how does it have an impact, Joe? Emma talked about, you know, just directing her energies elsewhere into revolution. How does not voting have an impact?
Well, I mean, like, because you cannot offer alternatives such as direct democracy instead of this electoral college.
Mm-hmm.
In this day and age, there's really no reason why we shouldn't have that with how small the world is because of the internet and
yeah.
various networks. You should be able to cast your vote directly on every issue, referendum 74 locally or whatever the issue may be.
So if there was a candidate out there who said, I want to get rid of the electoral college system, would you vote then?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be all on board for that.
All right. If you want Joe's vote, you know exactly what to say. Joe, thanks for your phone call. Let's go to Jim, who's listening to us today from down in Olympia. Jim, you're not going to vote?
No, I'm voting. I already have.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, what do you have to say to people who don't?
Well, I want to thank them for not voting. You just made my vote and everybody else who has voted just that much more valuable.
What about the argument about the electoral college system, though, Jim?
Yeah.
I mean, your vote for president, let's face it, Washington State's pretty much conceded to President Barack Obama. Is there a little bit of feeling on the outside of that one?
No, because, look, the reason why we had a, you know, we have this system for a reason, and there is a good reason for it. And it provides the system of checks and balances, even though, you know, they have to go by that. You know, they have, you know, I don't know. I hear these, you know, these, this thing about the Electoral College, and, you know, you have it there for a reason. And, you know, we have a system that works. But, you know, and as a result of a democracy, you have the option not to vote as well.
Right.
And you know, I chose to take the option of voting. And I want to thank everybody who hasn't voted because you just made my vote that much more powerful.
Oh.
When you have a smaller majority is deciding that,
yep.
You're having the same thing that they talked about in 1984, an oligarchy.
Hey, Jim, thanks a lot for your phone call. So, Jim, thanks all of you who are not voting today because he feels as though that's giving him more power. We'll leave the last word to Marie, who writes, listening to people not vote is maddening. I grew up as a Jehovah's Witness, which bans followers from voting. And for me to choose to vote is an affront to my mother. I take voting very seriously. And to hear these flippant reasons to not vote is an affront to me, writes Marie. David High produces the conversation with Arwin Nix. We get production help from a variety of people. Andy Hurst is our engineer today. And I want to say, if you are changing your mind, if you're registered, if you have that ballot, if you get it in the mail today, it still counts. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.